Good morning. As always, it's good to see you, and especially those visiting with us. We're glad you've come our way. We're mindful of all those that watch us on our live streaming, and that's a positive thing, too, and we're glad to have them. Today's not an easy day. Maybe it should be, because the truth is, what we really believe should make us joyous. And yet at the same time, I've lost a great friend. I'm not going to dwell there because I can't. I'll go maudlin on you. Okay, so today I want to talk to you about the idea of ensuring salvation. Maybe this is all going to go together in a certain way, and I've already been challenged on the thought that you spelled that I-N instead of E-N. Shouldn't it be an E-insuring with an E? And I think it should. And yet, at the same time, I want us to consider some things, because it may be that we have something to pay before we get the E. If you understand if I insure my property, I pay some money, and I get some insurance for that day when I need it. In this case, we're not going to pay money. We're going to pay something, and that's the case of the thing. So let's go back, because this is one of our scripture reading is the core of Christianity in a very real sense, or at least I think so. That to those that have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, the same kind of faith, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything? Through the true knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and excellence, for these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason, applying all diligence to your faith, supply moral excellence, and to your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Now, there's a lot said in this, and I'm really taking us toward only parts of it. But I think about the idea that when I review myself, or we review ourselves and our actions before the Lord, that this would be a passage that would come to consideration of the spiritual man that I intend to be. And I say intend because that's what I started as someone who wanted to be better than I am, and according to what God would have me be, and all the things that would go that way. And so this is what spiritual men and women do, is they compare ourselves to the things that God says. And so I want to ask you to begin with, is your faith the same as those that have gone before? Now, we have many, many examples of some really great faith. We have some really, really good examples of some things that they have done. Okay, and that, do you believe then that your faith is as great as Peter's, for instance? See, all of a sudden that things get serious. And when we're doing that, okay, do you believe that God has granted you everything that pertains to life and godliness? And if so, is that a reflection in you? Becomes a pretty good question. Okay, and then I ask you that, then what are the parameters that we have here, full of spiritual wisdom, of being full of spiritual wisdom? What would be reflected? What would be seen? What would you see in attitudes and actions themselves? What would it be that declares you where you want to be? And notice it's not me telling you. It's not going to be me that's going to be the judge of that. It's what God has said and whether you are about that business. So, when I think this way, do you think that all the blessings of God come in the knowledge of God? I mean, it sort of says that, doesn't it? Okay, that by the knowledge of what has been done for us by the love of God and the giving of His Son, the Son and giving of Himself, the Spirit of telling us all that has happened, that we may understand what love is, that we may understand what compassion is, that we may understand how good God is. And in all of that, it is to cause us to rise within ourselves to a higher plane. To be better people than we normally would have been, or that I would be if I'm left on my own. And I know that. And is God really supreme and truly the source of His own glory and excellence? Do you see? Is He all that He says He is? And I say yes. But you get where I'm coming from. Those answers have to be inside of me. They have to be more than simply a feeling. More than simply an attitude. It becomes a part of me. Do you still think that the promises of God are magnificent? You know, that's probably harder for the older people than necessarily the younger ones. But I want you to know that, and the reason I say that is because we've seen some stuff. And not everything turns out or looks like it's as good as it should be. And as we've seen in many Bible stories, there are times when the brethren don't see it. They don't have the eyes to see. And so if all of your answers, you know, are yes, then are you willing to follow the example of all the blessed ideas so that we become a partaker of the divine nature? Now, when I ask that question, okay, I want you to hear what I'm trying to say. We are moving out of making investment by a change in my habit. We're not in the idea now of being someone that is so thankful for what God has done by His example, that I am working toward being Him. That as He would respond, I will respond. As He would speak, I would speak. As He would put effort toward something, those are the things I would put effort to. I become spiritual. We're all lacking. I know that. But you know if you're growing and if these things are increasing that we've already read, you know if you're growing and increasing or whether you're on the level plane of just driving down the highway. Are we getting better, you see? Do you want to be known as having the divine nature, first of all? Do I want to be recognized as being Christian? Do I want to be recognized by the things that Jesus was recognized for? And do I not make apology for any of that? I have chosen who I will serve, and I am going to serve Him. And whatever you decide, you can decide, but I have chosen my place. All right. And so if we take that, and then by having that divine nature is when I escape the corruption of the world, because I'm not doing it for reward anymore. I'm doing it because it's who I want to be. I'm doing it because it's right. I'm doing it for a whole lot of reasons, but I want us to see it. And so, where are you along the timeline of being of the divine nature, you see, is how far have you come? Do you still get petty over certain things? Oh, don't be doing that to me. Is that who we've become? That I believe in Jesus and all the good stuff that goes that way until you cross me, and then all of a sudden that goes away. And I have no compassion for people who cross me. Is that my attitude? What would you say it would be if we think of Jesus on the cross and he's asking for them to be forgiven, those who are putting him to death? So what kind of effort does it take to become what you would consider a mature Christian? Does that take effort, and does it take it every day? Does it take it after you've already know what it says, and that you don't have to go look up the passage anymore? Are you still seeking? Or have we arrived to some degree? And that's what I'm asking. The first step, I think, is always that we are going to apply diligence to our shift. You got a problem with temper? And you say, I'm working on it? Okay. What does that mean? How are you improving yourself so that you don't act in the way you normally would act or have acted in the past? What is it that you're doing that's making sure that you don't act that way again and that I'm gaining on something? You see, that's the way it has to be. So, how well were you taught to work? Now, I've been very fortunate. My father was a taskmaster. He wanted things done right, and he's going to come and check to see if they're right. And if they're not right, you're going to do it again. And if that's going to take some discipline to go along with it to make you see the point, he would do that as well. First, I have to understand what my job is. But do you understand, even though we've been told by Scripture what those things are, the sense of accomplishing those things is within me. I must gather the tools to accomplish the task. I have to gather the manpower to accomplish the task. You must understand the order of things that need to be done, because organization of how a task is done starts with some basics that gets more complicated. You must check to see if all the things are being done adequately, meaning that we have to go back and inspect ourselves and where we are and what we are doing. Then all aspects need to be completed. Are you complete without the job being done, or without those kinds of things? And we have to see that we got to check ourselves that way. And then the idea that we do it right the first time is called productivity. Then I don't have to do it twice. I might use cigarette smoking as for the people that I know that have tried to break cigarette smoking. If you really want to quit, quit. Those that try to quit, I want to, but I can't really seem to get it done, are not committed. And I think that we need to hear that as far as it goes. And that's the point of it. Not everyone that has the organized mind to accomplish tasks this way. Not everyone has the work ethic to be thorough. Not everyone has the depth to overcome obstacles. And not everyone has the focus to complete a task. Don't like the cleanup, you know? All right. So, but we are told to add to your faith moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Each one of these has depth to it. Each one is necessary for the building to be complete. Each one may or may not be in your wheelhouse. I have to tell on myself on this one. Okay, so when I was asked about thinking about becoming an elder, it's an honor, and I was really pleased along those lines, but I had a number of people come, and I said, so do you think that I'm qualified to be an elder? I said, yeah. I said, you think I'm patient? They said, we do. I laughed. And the reason I laughed was because I had an instantaneous temper at one time, knowing how I did not control my temper at one point. Today, for you to say that I've arrived, I didn't think I had arrived yet. And you see my point. You see the point. But I was thrilled that other people thought that I was a patient man. All right. Anyway, as we go on with some of these things, as you can see, that we have to develop those things and what we need to do. And it's not a matter of whether it's in my wheelhouse or not. If I need to have compassion, then I need to learn and find a way to gain some. If I don't have compassion, you see, I still don't have compassion, and I can never be the person God intends for me to be until I do. And so we have it to do. Yet each one is necessary for you to accomplish what God gave the New Testament Christians in order to be pleasing unto Him. Each one then is necessary for you to have the divine nature. You can't be incomplete with this. I must be dedicated toward the things that God tells me. Those that come to me easily and naturally, yay. But it's really the ones that you have to work for that are the difficulty. All right. So when we understand then, in verse 8, you know, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're trying to gain. I want to have the knowledge of Christ be good enough that it causes me to be moving forward as I should. Now, there are times when I may not know how to do this. How do you add spiritual qualities to your life? Now, it's easy to say what needs to be done, and please hear me on what I'm trying to say. I am going to find someone that I think is compassionate in this case, okay? And then I'm going to emulate how they act. I'm going to copy what they do so that you might think that I'm that same person. But I'm not that person until it becomes part of me. How much compassion and good compassion must I give out when it's something that I'm doing, just I'm copying, before it becomes part of me? And it's part of a spiritual nature. The most damaging aspect to Christianity is the lack of commitment towards spiritual things. How many people do I know that they love God, they have a heart of faith, and they're willing to work on most of what I got to do, but there's some stuff I don't want to change, and I'm not going to. And I tell you, you need to be careful with that attitude. You need to be careful on what you will not deal with. And I'm not really talking to you. Okay? So, think about it. It's the bane of the Israelites. We love God. I've always wondered, how is it that they could go and follow God for a while? They get into trouble. They're taken off into captivity, or that they are conquered by one of the nations around them, and that they're suffering over their decisions and what goes on. And we love God, and when we come back and we raise as a prophet, we're going to love God and all that sort of thing. And then they go right back to following other idols. Now, why would you do that? Because they still think that I have God with me. Doesn't matter what I'm really doing, I still have God with me. He's our God, Israelite God, the true God. And he's still with me, but I'm not going to obey him. And though they choose that not to obey him, they think that they should still be rewarded as if they had. Do you think that goes on today? I think it does. Okay, so in Joshua, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which were your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. For it is if it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served and that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a commitment, a choice that has to be made. A simple choice that changes everything. And that's what has to be. They said yes, but we're not going to do everything God says to me. We said yes, as the rewards were apparent in the wilderness that was right behind them. We want that new land. Yeah, that's what we want. Okay. They said yes, but you see, not only do we choose God's way, we choose God's way always. And that's not the same as choosing it at the beginning. How many times do we think, all of us that are older will tell you, what did you think you were going to be while you were still at home? And I'm going to, when I'm on my own, who you're going to be when I'm on my own? Who are you going to be? And there's a sense in which we had ideas. Well, I'm going to be a good American citizen, and I'm going to be godly, and I'm going to be the things, and we say all of that. And how much of that was fantasy when it finally came to the fact that I had to learn how to be what I need to be? Oh, we'd had some training. We had a whole lot of things that go that way. And so that's the point. That choosing of things, in the beginning, we want the attributes of God, but also knowing that I do not possess them now. And so what would you do if you wanted to learn anything? Wouldn't you go find some place that I can go get an education on where that would be and how to do it and learn what I need to learn? And yes, would you not do that? Would you not want to practice it for a little while before you thought you were good at it? Wouldn't you want to do a whole lot of things? As a matter of fact, that's why we hire people with experience. Because they're different from people who have been to school. When I see all that and I understand it, you see, I'm choosing to learn of the attributes of God and possess them. And once learned, I must push for excellence in each attribute. And when the attribute is constant in any situation, now I possess it. So how do you possess moral excellence? Knowledge. Self-control. You know, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. How do I own those? Because no matter how far you get, there's always another step forward. And we need to recognize those things. The sense of constant effort and devotion to the possession of each and every one of those attributes is what really should be on my mind. And so in that way, we choose this day whom we're going to serve. And I want to make the point. Many of us get up in the morning and we have a task list that owns me. And I don't think about what is the most important thing for me to think about every day. And I slide. And I don't even realize I'm sliding. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, You are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. That's a pretty simple decision to make as far as it goes. I either want to be what God would have me be, and I'm willing to do what it takes, or I'm not. And as you can see that we are baptized, we're making that choice we're talking about. You've stated, okay, to God that you want His manner of being as your identity. You've seen the love of the Father, and in the giving of His Son, you've seen the love of the Son as He gives His life for men's sin, and you have seen the manner of the Son as He deals with people and their sickness, their poor thinking, their lack of submission and sin. And you decided, I'd rather be like Him. And my question is, are you? This is the verse that I wanted to talk about. All of that investment that we were making to gain our spiritual well-being is INSURE. But it becomes EN sure. You ensure by the constant strengthening and sacrifice that you must make, okay, in order to be pleasing unto God. I do not believe that you can make certain that you have a home in heaven without constant and dedication toward the things of God. Brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will not stumble. Now you see, it was never known for just the knowledge of God. It was never known just for your good feelings about yourself. It was never known for any. All of this is to be done for the sake of using it. That we would get up and that we would stand for what God stands for. And I just want you to hear that that's what it is. I don't believe that you just because you were baptized, you're going to be saved. In the end, because it goes on to say, he who overcomes to the end is the one that will be saved. I don't get to just start right. I must remain right. I must grow and be better than I was. I have all those things still to do. I do not believe that you can continually give your attention to the things of the world and then think that I'm spiritually dedicated. I really want to suggest, I don't think it's the amount of time as just a time factor, but I believe that the dedication toward it and that the effort toward it when you are involved with those things is absolutely necessary. And that they don't do it by example. I don't do that because I know that we should pray regularly. God says we should pray without ceasing. And that As we mentioned in our discussion on prayer, it's not about I pray because God told me to pray for our leaders and because He told me to pray for the sick and because He tells me to pray for those things. And so I put those words into every one of my prayers. But if I don't believe it, if it's not what I'm about, if it's not my business, it's really not what it's supposed to be. Meaning I'm not what I'm supposed to be. But if these things, my seeking of being that person is within me, I can't let those things go. They are a necessity for me. I must be about God's business. I must be about praying for those who have need. And that I care about those kinds of things. I must be so much of this stuff. And that, okay, so I don't think that just creating times for prayer, habits that would do that, or times for worship, or times for forgiving is the culmination of what we're supposed to be. It's not that, oh look, that's the checklist thing again. It is being that person that we need to be. I think it also includes the idea what are the consequences if I don't choose rightly? In other words, I had time to stand in the field and meditate on the things of God, or I could go watch a movie. See my point? Not saying we can't have entertainment. That's not it. It is, where does my heart go? As we ask the question, where will I go when I die? My thinking is that I'd better look at the list of sacrifices that I've made for the cause of Christ. If you haven't given anything up, I think you need to think about it. There are personal moments of time, possessions, discomfort, even the loss of jobs and social standing that would trail the who I am today. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I'm more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in the danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day that I've spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, in dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. And I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure of me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led to sin without my intense concern? Does that sound like a trail of sacrificing? It does to me. Would this passage be the trail, and does your trail offer the remnants that it took to become a patient man or woman? Does your trail offer forgiveness to the ones putting you to death? Does your trail offer the thinking that Jesus taught? Or are you on a different trail? Oh, we're trying to follow Him. The world needs us now to be what God wants us to be. This is the point of everything. We must set aside the political outrage, the selfish gain, and the desire for ease, and realize that we are in a battle in which we seem to be outnumbered. But not too long ago, I had a little sermon where Elisha says, "Oh no, we're more than they are." And he shows his servant the truth. Okay, we're not outnumbered. Each time we stand, each time we battle, when we seem that we're outnumbered, when each time that we give, each time that we declare the Lord with a loss, it resounds everywhere it's heard. It does. Have we become what He wanted us to be? And that's my encouragement. My encouragement to us today is to take this home with us. That I chose when I became a Christian who I wanted to be. If I'm not there, I'm going to take some time, I'm going to take some effort, and I'm going to focus on what I need to be and do, and I'm going to make the changes that are still necessary. Make your calling and election sure. King James. Let His choosing you be for sure, because I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to miss what's been promised to me. And I hope that you don't. All we have to do is make the change. I ask you, do you need to make a change? Is there anyone here that needs to make a change in the fact that they've never obeyed the gospel? And if you do, all things are ready that you may become a Christian this very hour. And if I've got some things that I need to work on, then I think there's some prayers that need to be offered by you. And if we can help you by praying with you as well, won't you come as we stand and sing?